Tokyo, Australia, Germany.
Go head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head on with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! Welcome to the Horn and the Great Big Internet Buffering Extravaganza. It hasn't started yet, and gosh, we're already 2 minutes into the program, so, well, count your blessings where they lie. This is the Horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That is where you go. That's where you go if you'd like to jump into the chat room. And among other things, pick yourself out a screen name and a password and immediately be welcomed by the merry denizens of the Horn chat room. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. If you pick yourself out a screen name and a password and you jump in, you will be immediately greeted. I promise they will all greet you. They'll say hi. They especially love new folks. Anatole will do it, and Hoghead, and Laborman, and Richard, and Steve from Georgia Stan, and Texas T, and VT Blom will all greet you merrily, and you will be capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator, Sparky, who, being a spacing guild master, has folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Well, that's because I forgot to throw the fourth switch, Asa. The head-on.live stream is just now catching up. Sorry. Anyway, this it's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn. This, of course, being the 30th day of May 2017, the next-to-last day of May 2017... Thanks to the overnight crowd, we knocked down the deficit a little bit. We had $60 to go last night, but we find ourselves with only $30 to go to finish last night's fundraising. So the fundraising goal is now $230 for this evening, $430 to finish May and lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. Okay, that's where we are. Yay us. If we could do that, and I'd sure like to have a night off from talking about fundraising. If we could do that all this evening, then I could shut up tomorrow. That's where we stand. If you want to help out, you know, let's see, 2:30. Well, 4:30 would be 43 at 10 or 10 at 43, 2 at 2:15, 4 at 107.50. After that, you know, but anyway, you get the idea. And we'll just hope for the best and hope we can get through the evening and, you know, whatever. It is Titanic Tuesday. Hey, there's Silent R. Lamar, who's entered the room. Good evening, Lamar. Yes, Hoghead, we did have a program last night, and yes, we did have buffering. It wouldn't be the Horn without buffering, now would it? And I should let you know that I did try. I'm trying to isolate this, and when you got to change one thing at a time, and if that doesn't work, then, um, So I'm going to try another thing. I'm going to have to run out and buy some new cables to do it. But just going to try to make sure that it's not the sound card. So you know that's where that stands. Yeah, thank you, Texas T. The horn brought to you by Buffering. When you've got a big headache, Buffering makes it worse. Right. But anyway, if you want to help out, run over to the headonradionetwork.com website. Click on Contribute. Go through the PayPal interface. We've only got one subscriber for the 30th day of the month, and that's because of freaking February. February throws everything off, but we've only got one subscriber on the 30th day of the month. So if anyone would like to become a, you know, just pick out a number, make it happen every month, click the little box that says, make this a recurring monthly donation. If we ever get to 400 at 10 bucks a piece, you don't have to listen to this any, I mean, not the program, yes, but this part, no. But oh well. So there we go. Apart from that, if you don't want to do the checkbox thing, then just whatever you want to do to help is wonderful. I just got a note from Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut. She emphasizes the Connecticut part, the Connecticut. Yes. What do you... Well, see, that's silent C, Connecticut, just like silent R, Lamar. But, yes, Darlene in Connecticut has a $100 challenge for us this evening. So if they're, you know, 10 at 10, 5 at 20, 20 at 5... 1 at 50, or 2 at 50, 1 at 100, 4 at 25, 8 at 1250, whatever. If we can come up with $100, Darlene will double it. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you. That makes things a lot more hopeful going forward. And thank you very kindly. Knock down $30 of the $100 challenge. Thank you, David. Thank you very, very much. Isaac is helping out at a distance. Try leaving off the Skype program as a test for this evening. Been there, done that. That's one of those things that's all... No, things. The Skype isn't on the same computer, one. Two, it's not even on the same internet connection. Ah. No, and there it is. Buffering popping up on the stream, followed by the horn stream. If you, and again, I try, it's impossible. There's an input. This is happening on the input side, not the output side. When we've got trouble reaching the White Rose server or something like that, the buffering shows up on the output. This is something, I don't know if it's just the CPU wearing out or RAM getting ready to go to its long, doesn't appear to be. But anyway, that's on the input side, which means for some reason or another, you know, maybe it's a transcoding issue. I don't know. The Skype. Thanks for applying for some skull sweat to it, Isaac. But no, that ain't it. So we'll figure it out. Richard in the chat room says the music is getting old. My God, since when? I think that's the original recording by Vivaldi. I mean, that's really him. It's so open-sourced. No, that's where it is. But it's Titanic Tuesday on the horn. And, of course, you may well recall... Oh, thank you. And Ralphs, thank you, Ralphs. So now we have only $45 to go to meet Darlene in Connecticut's challenge. Yay. Thank you, Darlene. Thank you, Ralphs. And thank you, David. $45 to go to do that. And we'll run downhill toward trying to get everything knocked out for the end of what has proven to be a long and brutally expensive May. And there's Gonzo entering the chat room. Hey, Gonzo. Everybody say hi to Gonzo. So, where do we go? Well, okay, so just the general reminder, where do we get Titanic Tuesday from? Okay, Richard, this is... I wouldn't know. I never listen to this program when it buffers up because I'm too busy doing the program. Richard says, no, this is some sort of rock music. The Vivaldi performance is like Trump as the violin soloist. Oh, well. Yeah, there's no pleasing classically trained musicians. You must understand that. Ah, okay. Well, thank you. Well, there's the explanation. Asa says the buffering is a result of spirochetes in your streaming PC. Well, the little buggers can get everywhere. It's Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, so named after something that our buddy Jim heard many, many years ago on local radio when the morning monotone, who could put entire highways worth of drivers to sleep with his monotone delivery, took time out from reading the newspaper to answer a phone call from one of his mouth-walking, knuckle-breathing followers who said, Steve, how come is it that there is seashells in the rocks in West Virginia? I done seen some of them and some ferns and all kinds of stuff, but I seen seashells, Steve, down when I was in the mines. I seen seashells in the rock. We ain't nowheres near the beach, Steve. To which Steve confidently replied, and at the same time sent several drivers into telephone poles, just instantaneously triggering their narcolepsy. Well, caller, that's because of the movement of the Titanic plates. And so was Titanic Tuesday born. The Titanic plates, yes. Still, no word whatsoever on the Titanic swirly straws. No. A lot of stuff on that table. It's amazing they got to anything to eat at all. So that's where it comes from, and we celebrate Titanic manifestations of intellect, Titanic right-wing manifestations of brains. Every Tuesday, whether we need to or not, because there's always some. That wasn't buffering, that was sneezing. Yeah, that's right. Steve O'Brien, who was also known by his on-air name, Personalitron. Oh, too much Personalitron in Personalitron. Yes. That's happy news. Thank you very kindly to Texas T. We are now down to only $25 to go to meet Darlene's challenge, which will get us almost halfway to done with the month of May and finish out front. Question about the head-on.live stream. No, the head-on. Richard asking, isn't the head-on.live stream upstream from all other sources? No. Everything goes from here to a server. I send out to the White Rose server at the same time that I send to head-on.live. They are entirely separate animals. Now, everything like TuneIn and all that stuff is downstream from White Rose. If that makes any sense at all. I'm giving away all the magic here. The chat is already reaching a fever pitch. Gonzo in the chat room says, forget Kathy Griffin. Tiger Woods got a DUI. Yeah, he did. And at 3 o'clock in the morning, cops busted him. He was sound asleep behind the wheel of his large automobile. Da-dum-dum-dum. 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 Yeah, behind the wheel of a large automobile. He was sound asleep, and they popped him for DUI, and he said, I want my fans to know that alcohol had nothing to do with this. I took some medication and had an adverse reaction to it. Did you now? you took some medication, had an adverse reaction to it, and went toddling around in the middle of the night in your car having an adverse reaction to your medication until you fell asleep in the car on the side of the road. Got it. Maybe the part of the adverse reaction was having the sudden urge to run out to the local truck stop or something for some biscuits and gravy. Who knows? But that ate some up. They ate up some of the news cycle today because, well, because for-profit media. Sure, why not? Yeah, where to begin? Oh, look, it's Titanic Tuesday. Titanic intellect on display on Titanic Tuesdays. And we've got another email from Brain. Oh God! I know. Lauren up in Alberta says no more. Don't read any more emails from anybody. But that would be kind of unfair. That's the way. This is a multiple format participation program. Some people participate by phone. Some people participate by email. Some people participate by Twitter and Facebook and. One of these days, maybe by Instagram. Who knows? Oh, God. Don't encourage him, please. All in the space of a minute. Yes. Yay, Brain. Yes. I like brains. Brain. What are we going to do tonight, Brain? Same thing as every night, Pinky. Try to take over the world. Ah, thank you, Texas T. Somebody had to do it, some sort of it. Whose Brain? Abby, someone. Abby who? Abby Normal? Yes. But Brain sends an email saying, I am a real person. That's true. Hoghead pointing out, reminding us all, that back in the wonderful days when Bart Kopp was still with us and had not moved on to a parallel universe or gone into hiding or gone to hanging out with Elvis or wherever he is. He would periodically feature on his site, on his page, Monkey Mail. And this is kind of like that. You know, Titanic Tuesday is usually reserved for right-wing Titanic intellect, but Titanic intellect can come from, well, but then again, Brain's an admitted Trump voter. So it maybe Monkey Mail fits, but I'm not gonna Bogart Bart Kopp's shtick. I am a real person. The email is slugged because, of course, I don't think Brain is a real person. I think Brain is somebody else who's trying to provide a little bit of humorous material for the horn because you can't be this dumb. And, I mean, you can't participate in this community and stay that dumb. Of course, then again, the first time I ever heard from Brain was, I think, over this business here. Bob, I want to remind you that Donald Trump is president and Hillary Rodham Clinton is not. Thanks for that. I never would have known. I will give you a moment while you throw your poo like an ape. Well, actually, I like to think, having played baseball as a young man, I can probably throw poo better than an ape, but, you know, I generally try to make a point of not throwing poo. Mine or anyone else's. Interesting that he picks up on that because, you know, we've talked about how the Trumpanzees, which is an elision of Trump and chimpanzee, and they're notorious for flinging poo in the zoo. Well, I tell you what, can't get anything past that Brain. Sorry about my last email. I was extremely furious. Extremely furious. Not just furious, but extremely furious. No, you're not sorry about your previous email. Every email you sent has been rude and nasty, and that's why you get That's why you get the red assing that you get when you send them, brain. You don't engage in good faith conversation. You just come in flinging poo, like the Trumpanzee you are. You voted for him, remember? And it goes from there. I was extremely furious. I wanted to punch you. Right through the radio brain? Okie doke. Maybe you were punching a computer monitor? No telling. So why do you think Trump is a fascist? He's an idiot, Bob. You seem to misconstrue idiocy with... Wait a minute. I read that wrong. I know. Carol Baker asking. It wasn't his last email where he challenged you to a duet or something? Oh, he was going to call in and humiliate me right in front of the whole Horn family community congregation. Still hasn't, to use the words of Lady Macbeth, still hasn't screwed his courage to the sticking place, I suppose. Thank you, Texas T. Wait a minute. That's two for Texas T. Brain has the best emails. Brain has the best emails. Beautiful emails. Mm-hmm. Carol Baker, are you writing the Brain emails? I mean, just kind of type it to me. I won't say one way or the other, but you could do this pretty good. I mean, you're a knower of words. I mean, you could do, yeah. That's not you, is it, Carol? There's several suspects out there. But, anyway. So why do you think Trump is a fascist? He's an idiot, Bob. You! Because he typed it in all caps. Seem to misconstrue idiocy with fascism, and of course you don't know what fascism is. As if Brain did. Brain thinks if they don't have spiffy black uniforms and goose step, it isn't fascism. Yeah. Brain probably doesn't know the origin of the word without looking it up on the interweb tubes. Okay. Just asking, Carol. No insult. I can't be that stupid. I swear. It's not me. I've been working 7 days a week. I swear. Okay. All right. Because you swore. And it was probably a pinky swear. And, no, you can't be, well, okay. I get what you're saying. You are not that stupid, Carol. But you can't even write that stupidly. No, I get it. Okay. We're good. Misconstrue idiot. Trump's an idiot, and I seem to misconstrue idiocy with fascism. Of course, I don't know what fascism is. Oh hell! 24 minutes past the hour, and I gotta do a thumbnail précis of the origins and history of fascism for a guy who signs his emails Brain. Don't start this. Asa says, come on, Bob, we all knew it was Sister Carol Baker from De Numero Uno. Maybe, you know what? Are you sure you don't, like, you know, give yourself a little taste of the solar-powered cattle prod, Carol, and that just, like, kills off a few brain cells, and then you start writing, never mind. No. She swore, Asa, she swore. Fascism. Defined by Mussolini, who kind of invented it. Wait a minute. Okay, here's for Steve. Steve from Georgia, Stan. Stop telling people who's writing the Brain emails, Bob. Oh, okay. Well, Carol Baker says, I will, however, double dog dare him to a duel. Well, you've been double dog dared, Brain. I can just close my mic. You can call in. We'll get Sister Carol Baker on the line, because you've been double dog dared. Shoo, that's heavy stuff. That double dog dare. Oh, Ron in Raleigh says, you don't want Brain calling in, because if he did, all he'd do is try to talk over you and make absolutely no sense whatsoever. What a macaroon! Anyway, back to Brain's attempt at coherent typing. All right, you've been warned. Carol says, don't make me pull this program over. I will do it! And she will. Right in the middle of rush hour traffic on the way home to Hooterville from Kansas City. You don't want it. Trust me. Fascism was invented, if invented is the correct term, developed pretty much by Benito Mussolini. It is an authoritarian style of government which Mussolini said represented the perfect marriage between the power of the corporation, the corporate the power of the corporations and the power of the state. It is authoritarian. It is brutal. It is violent. And it is exactly what we've got going on right now. Oh, but wait. Brain says, it can't be fascism. Where's the death camps? Where's the martial law? Fascism does not require death camps. Death camps are a function of a homicidal mentality. Spanish fascism, you know, they did plenty of killing, and there was forced labor, and there was death. But it is not an absolute sine qua non, and Brain, that's Latin for without which nothing. Or without which not, nothing would be nihil. Sine qua non, without which not. It's not a sine qua non that there be death camps and martial law. In point of fact, fascism does not require martial law, and martial law is a different thing entirely not related to fascism. And it's also, oh God. This is why Brain's emails are so tiring. It's also martial law because martial law stems from the idea of law imposed in time of war, and Mars Martius, okay, Mars was the Roman god of war. Martius, is a state of being warlike. Martial law is a warlike form of law. And Brain, it's not spelled capital MARSHAL as if it was law imposed by Matt Dillon. Jesus Christ, you freaking fool. Oh, wait. Oh, Carol Baker. I think we need to take up a special love offering for Brain. Therapeutic riding camp. Send quarters only. I'll put him on a horse in front of Walmart. Devin with an observation. Damn, that description sounds like the U.S. government since, like, the Constitutional Convention. I know. But it's not like Marshall Dillon law. It's M-A-R-T-I-A-L, which stems from Mars, the god of war. Never mind. Pearls before swine. Where's the martial law? And he's not going to get his agenda through. We are, how many days? 100 and maybe 31, 32, 133 days. Yeah, Steve, you're absolutely right. He spelled it M-A-R-S-H-A-L law with a capital M. He did. Steve was right there before internet latency being what it was. Steve sent that before I spelled it. They do get kind of predictable, the Trumpanzees, don't they? Right, V.T. Blom pointing out it's all part of the Marshall Plan. Thank you, Texas Tea. Texas Tea working hard this evening.
Martial law, where's the kaboom? The earth-shattering kaboom! I want an earth-shattering kaboom. Delays, delays.
Any opportunity to use my Marvin Martian? Oh, no, that would be Martian law. Sorry. Well, that's true. We have death camps, Devin notes. They're better known as reservations and prisons. And we have a concentration camp in Guantanamo Bay, Cuba. How about that? But, yeah, that goes back a ways. But that's not about Trump. But, you know, where's the martial law? And he's not going to get his agenda through. He's a throwaway. I don't know. You know, you typed this at 3:48 p.m. this afternoon, Brain. I don't know where you were the last 12 days or so when American dignity and American foreign policy was being flushed down the toilet, and while the guy you voted for was dipping a Shirley Temple curtsy to the king of Saudi Arabia. I don't know where you were. Where were you when he said, I just flew in from the Middle East, when he was in Israel? Where were you when he was puttering around on a golf cart while the rest of the leaders of the free world were walking around? Because, you know, he's just not in that good a shape. Hey, right. As to he's not going to get his agenda through? Oh, thank you. A compliment's coming from Reverbo on my Marvin Martian. Much obliged. Good one, says Reverbo. Thank you. He's not going to get his agenda through. That is a mighty bold thing to say, you know, 32 days into a four-year presidency. And see, it's not even so much his agenda, Brain, if I can call you that, Brain. It's the Republican agenda, which, if a few more people had passed our national one-question IQ test last November 8th, well, that Republican agenda wouldn't have a snowball's chance in hell of going anywhere, because there would be a mean, mean, mean lady sitting in the Oval Office vetoing everything that came across her desk from this bunch of right-wing freaks that you, Brain, helped to empower. So it's not Trump's agenda, it's the Republican agenda. It's Paul Ryan's agenda. And all they got to do is pass the legislation, and it goes right down the road to the White House, and the guy you voted for, Brain, gets out his bill signing crayon and scrawls his name across it, and suddenly, oh, maybe 24 million people are fucked out of health care. Thanks, Brain. Thanks for helping to fuck 24 million people. What a guy you are, Brain. He's not going to get his agenda through. He's a throwaway. No, he's not a throwaway, Brain. He's the President of the United States. And he can do immense amounts of harm. Here, let's check in on something he can do without even necessarily relying on the Congress. From the Hill, President Donald Trump plans on reversing a set of policies softening relations with Cuba. According to the report, the U.S.-Cuba Trade and Economic Council, an anti-embargo group, said the Trump administration was preparing to announce the changes to Obama-era policies in a June speech in Miami. A bipartisan trio of senators, Marco Rubio of Florida, Mario Diaz-Balart of Florida, and Bob Menendez of New Jersey, a Democrat, have pushed for the reversal, because we can only be not stupid for a few months before we have to go back to being stupid again, like, you know, we were stupid for 50-plus years with regard to our Cuba policy. He doesn't need the Congress for that. Brain, he can do that all by himself. All by his little lonesome self. And he's doing all kinds of things like that. Have you ever heard of the Environmental Protection Agency, Brain? Have you noticed that across a wide swath of administrative agencies which are controlled as a function of the executive branch and are therefore directly under the President of the United States, have you noticed how data have been disappearing, Brain? You damn fool! Some throwaway. And then this. Oh, I know. Barkway in the chat room pointing out, Bob, have you seen Twitter lately? America's pretty darn stupid. Oh, I know. And especially the people who say things like Brain just said. Hillary Clinton would have been way worse because she knows how to appease the warmongering establishment, semicolon. I don't think we really need the semicolon, Brain, but I know it makes you feel all smart and stuff. And she would have already had us in World War III by now. I'm glad you're enjoying it, Asa. I'm glad somebody is. Asa said, this is a whole lot of fun. I hope Brain keeps writing in, R-I-G-H-T-I-N-G. Damn it, don't make fun, Asa. Brain done got himself a sixth grade education. One of these days he's going to either be a brain surgeon or a fry cook. Ain't decided which yet. You know, I'm sorry about all this, Brain. But let's remember, you started it, you earned it, every last bit of it. Where were we? Oh, yeah, Hillary Clinton would have been way worse because she knows how to appease the warmongering establishment, and she would have already had us in World War III by now. Well, as the lawyers like to say, Brain, that assumes facts, not in evidence. And thus, it is both irrelevant and inadmissible. But, Brain, the fact of the matter is, there's plenty of appeasing of the warmongering establishment going on. Did you happen to notice the little arms deal with Saudi Arabia while the guy you voted for was over there bowing and curtsying to them? Did you happen to notice that one? The $100+ billion arms deal that he signed off on with the guy he kept referring to as King Solomon. Wait a, you know what? Is it possible? Just possible. Is it in the realm of something? Could brain be other personalities, and written to people as some being somebody that someone he wasn't? Could Brain actually be Donald Trump writing into the horn? Maybe Kellyanne Conway, or dare we ponder it, Barrett? I mean, well, it's not melanoma. Is there no, it's not melanoma. How to appeal? You voted for is doing a real good job, Brain. I mean, he did that $60 million fireworks show in Syria that didn't even slow the Syrian military, the slaughter down. Right, yeah. And then he dropped the Moab on Afghanistan. He's got the Pacific Fleet sailing in circles, wondering where the hell they're going next. the military industrial complex is salivating and rubbing its hands together, just waiting for an opportunity to send some mother's sons and daughters off to fight and die in Korea. And you think Hillary, really, you think Hillary Clinton would have started something in Korea? She wouldn't have started anything in Iran. We've got a treaty there that she wouldn't have abrogated. You get the idea. But
again, I'll take a moment while you scream and throw poo.
No, dumbass. It's just a matter of refuting your pathetic, weak, intellect-free attempts at argument. They're not cogent. They're not coherent. So that part of it takes a little bit of work.
Because I'm giving you the cold, hard truth that your dear leader would have been worse as a president than she was as a candidate.
See, that's the whole thing, dumbass. She was a terrible candidate. A god-awful candidate. And a worse campaigner. And more's the pity, because she actually was far more qualified to be president. Somehow, I don't think she would have wound up in a photograph with her hands on the orb in Saudi Arabia. Because, among other things, her first foreign trip wouldn't have been to go and bow the knee and curtsy to Saudi Arabia. Like her predecessors before her, George W., Barack Obama, probably her first trip abroad would have been to either Mexico or Canada or both. See? Yeah. Worse as a president than she was as a candidate. Well, would she be out there? And this is on that scale of worse as a president. Would she be out there, brain, calling for the passage of the Republicans' American Health Care Act? No. She would have been working on a way to try to shore up the health care that Americans already have through the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. That's the thing, brain. You say stuff, and you don't even realize, probably as a function of the Dunning-Kruger effect, you don't even realize, you don't know what you don't know, brain. And that's what makes you both pitiable and laughable at the same time. And finally, because apparently he's got a fixation on our buddy Billable Rick, too.
Also, I want to call out Billable Rick. Rick saying that the DNC is going to win that lawsuit was in fact an act of shilling. He's a typical Democratic Party establishment hack.
Oh, fuck. I got to scream again because he put it all in caps.
And it's indicative of how tone-deaf you Hillbots really are.
Hillbots. Me. The guy who wants universal single-payer health care. Hillbot. Hillbot, Rick, for simply pointing out the obvious, that a couple of lawyers signing off on a contingent fee agreement on what they hope will be a class action suit, certified as a class action suit, trying to get money back for Bernie donors who naively apparently thought that by giving money to a candidate, that purchased the candidate's victory.
Hoo-wee!
Yeah. And I don't know. We need some intro music or outro music or something for brain. How about Let's try this. I want to get this right. This ought to work. Oh, no, the goddamn computer crashed. Well, we'll have to do it over here. Here we go. This will work. And that's it. The conclusion of another email from Brain.
Good.
No, ask you about it.
Aren't we just tickled pink? Yeah. Oh, apparently I struck Darlene in Connecticut's funny bone. Brain is Trump. I was thinking the same thing, says Darlene. But if not, you may unwittingly be paying Brain a compliment in his world. Well, there's that, too. But there's some merit to the argument, Stephen New York pointing out. Brain is Trump. The poor spelling because of the tiny hands on the big bad keyboard certainly suggests that Brain is Trump. Asa pointing out, most people called Brain started out as Brian, but had problems with their spell checker. Well, you recall that's what he blamed it on himself. His spell checker changes his name to Brain. But oddly enough, it doesn't change Marshall to M-A-R-T-I-A-L. Go figure. Steve also adds, I think Brain is Jimmy Dore. No, that's just being mean. See, Ron got in on it. Ron and Raleigh got in. Yes, he did. He spelled Marshall, M-A-R-T-I-A-L, Marshall. He didn't spell it M-A-R-S-H-A-L-L. He stiffed, he shorted an L. Also from Ron and Raleigh, Bob. Notice the use of the gimmick there? Mm-hmm. Nobody else gets to do that, you know. You have to understand the reason that the pumpkin potentate had to ride a golf cart is those heel spurs that kept his flabby ass out of Nam. Oh, Jesus. Dadgummit, Carol Baker, I was trying to avoid that, but no, you're right. Bob, tell Brain he's got a pretty mouth. Squeal! Squeal like a pig! Woo! Mm-hmm. Eric, meanwhile, in Alabama, Pennsylvania, Stan. Pennsyltucky. Subject line, Brain is winning. Bob, my resistance to Brain is breaking down. I'm now entertaining conspiracy theories. Has anyone put forth the idea that you, Bob Kincaid, are indeed Brain in a pathetic attempt to increase contributions? I'm thinking this may be the case. As a matter of fact, Eric, Asa promulgated that idea with the last missive from Brain. I assure you, the horn would go dark before I would do something as sleazy and like Carol, I cannot be that intentionally stupid. I mean, I can write in dialect and things like that. And I can carry on behind the microphone, but to actually sit there and come and deliberately write that goddamn dumb is it evades me. And I mean, Jesus, I mean, come on, Eric, we're in the hole, but we're not in that bad a hole. I mean, we're only $25 from meeting Darlene's challenge, which will mean that we're only $30 from finishing off last night and $200 from finishing off the month of May. We'd have to be in like a four-digit down in the well, get Lassie to go tell Timmy kind of hole for me to even think about something like that. And, you know, we are, after all, just about the cheapest radio program out there anyway. But nonetheless, I understand. See, this is why we don't allow right-wingers on the program. Brain is about as close as anyone has ever gotten. We don't allow right-wingers on the program because it makes people's brains hurt. It makes people wonder if... Because, see, we hang out here and we talk sanely and cogently amongst ourselves. And... and we get used to thinking, because it's a bubble, we get used to thinking that there are lots of people every bit as sane as we are, but there are people who tune in this program who are as goddamn dumb as Brain is. And most of them don't write in, most of them don't call in, because they don't want the red-assing that they will get by publicly displaying their stupidity. You can't win. Eric says, methinks thou doth protest too much. Nice Shakespeare reference. But no, I assure you, my days are far too full and far too busy to sit around writing emails from Brain. Even if I could. Believe you me, I had a program pulled together for this evening. Dave in South Carolina stands says, I heard the theme song. And then notes, South Carolina is a cross between Deliverance and Texas Chainsaw Massacre with a tent revival during intermission. That's pretty damn close. And we still don't know... We don't know what part of the Confederacy Brain comes from, so hard to tell. But we've made it through the biggest part of the hour, and like I said, I had a program prepared. I really, really, really did have a program prepared for Titanic Tuesday, complete with manifestation of Titanic intellect, and it was one of those, Jesus, this is weird. Hey, Sandra, thank you very kindly. Sandra has jumped in. We have multiple Sandras. Sandra jumped in to finish off Darlene's challenge. Thank you very, very much indeed. So that means $30 and we're done with this evening, and another $200 and we're done with May, and we get an entire prayer meeting Wednesday tomorrow with me not saying anything about fundraising. That is my promise to you.
Oh, no. Steve in New York, you evil genius. Wait a minute. This isn't necessarily funny, but it gets a cowbell. Steve in New York says, "Urethra! I have found it!" Okay, that's funny. Cowbell for urethra. That's probably something Brain would type. Wait a minute. Steve? Is it you? I mean, we all know you grew up in Ohio. You could probably write like a trumpanzee. You crafty devil, you. Urethra, I have found it, says Steve in New York. Brain is barren, B-R-A-I-N, B-A-R-I-N, huh? As in Trump. He's good with the cyber, you know. Oh, that's intriguing. Decidedly intriguing. And just to throw us off the scent, because, you know, they spell barren, I think B-A-R-O-N or B-A-R-R-O-N. Ah. That is very, very inscrutable of you, Steve. Urethra! I'm stealing that one. That'll be appearing on a small progressive radio program near you sometime in the very near future, as quickly as we've forgotten who originally did it so that I don't have to pay royalties. No, Titanic Tuesday, here's how goofy it's getting over at 1600 Trumpsylvania Avenue. So the big news today was that Michael Dubkey, the White House communications director that nobody knew was the White House communications director, had resigned on May the 18th, but stuck around for a while because it really wouldn't be fair, what with Trump going out of town on his first big boy trip across the pond and everything. Well, it's out there now. And here's some weird. The White House has taken to issuing statements that don't necessarily come from anybody. They're not signed off on. It's not like, I, Spicy, prepared this statement, or I, Sarah, daughter of pastor, brother, governor, diabetes, snake oil cure salesman Mike Huckabee, wrote this statement. No, it just gets out there. And then this happened today. I'm not kidding. And this isn't another email from Brain. President Trump has a magnetic... I mean, just out of the blue. I mean, this wasn't down at the bottom of some other statement about some matter of heady import. President Trump has a magnetic personality and exudes positive energy, which is infectious to those around him. Well, okay, Hope Hicks signed off on this thing, allegedly, but you know who really kind of wrote it. He has an unparalleled ability to communicate with people, whether he is speaking to a room of three or an arena of 30,000. He has built great relationships throughout his life and treats everyone with respect. He is brilliant with a great sense of humor and an amazing ability to make people feel special and aspire to be more than even they thought possible. Brain, are you Hope Hicks? Really? He has an unparalleled ability to communicate with people, whether he's speaking to a room with... Does that include saying, I just flew in Israel, mind you, I just flew in from the Middle East, and boy, are my arms tired from the flapping.
Is that what he was doing when he was talking to an arena full of people, making people feel special, when he said, "Take him out on his stretcher. I miss the good old days when we could just beat him up." Great relationships throughout his life. That's why nobody with access to any money in the United States will even so much as remotely touch him. He couldn't borrow a nickel from a dude living above on a subway grate in New York City. You, Donald Trump, I wouldn't loan you a nickel. You'll steal it. You'll never pay it back. I mean, that's just bizarre and weird and twisted. The statement was a response to an article in the Washington Post reporting that Trump has taken to verbally abusing and insulting and generally treating like shit the people around him. Trump prefers a management style in which even compliments can come laced with a bite, and where enduring snubs and belittling jokes, even in public, is part of the job. Well, maybe that's a Republican thing. Remember when W named his nearest, dearest, closest, and most evil advisor, Karl Rove, Turd Blossom? Because that's kind of the larger thing that I think we need to keep in perspective here. Trump is new. But the policies behind him are not. Killing health care, taking health care away from millions of American people, nothing new in that. Those godforsaken freaks in the Republican Party have been shrieking about that since the moment that the ink dried on the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. And they only became more shrill when people began to derive manifest good from it. That's why Trump himself is talking about withholding monies necessary to fund the Medicaid expansion, as well as the corporate welfare payments to the insurance companies, because that way it's not a matter of and of course he'll say, well, Obamacare is dying, Obamacare is dead, Obamacare is collapsing. When in fact it's having its throat slit. Because with every day that passes that people who couldn't before can now go to the doctor when they're sick, it becomes harder and harder for Republicans to cling to power. Assuming, of course, that we're talking about a country in which the opposition, the loyal opposition, can keep its shit together long enough to win an election, which, if you recall last night's program, I'm not entirely comfortable saying about the Democrats because, well, there are a lot of Democrats who will be running for re-election who will have to deal with sparkle-fart-powered unicorn cavalry purity brigade type screaming, "Establishment shill! Establishment shill! DNC hack!" When we have to retain every bit of power that we can. And I understand that's a troubling and icky thing. Charlie in Tennessee asking, who the hell is Brain? Well, we're trying to sort that out, Charlie. But it's icky as can be, for instance, if you acknowledge that every Democrat has to keep, you know, all 23 of them, plus Angus King, plus Bernie Sanders, have to hang on to their seats in the Senate, and you need every Democrat to win their election in the House, and you've got to pick up 20 or 30 Republicans, you got to pick them off in the process too. That means, by definition, there are going to be a few people reelected that are not necessarily exactly the perfect purity candidate that you would like to have. I mean, for instance, from the Department of Jesus, what a dick. Cory Booker, New Jersey. Story came out, what, last night? That old Cory has taken shit tons of money from who? Oh, Jared Kushner, the sleazy slumlord. Dr. Bill talked some about that today. And so, oddly enough, Cory Booker declared that he wasn't quite ready to believe anything bad about Jared Kushner. And, of course, why would you if Jared Kushner has been pumping tens of thousands of dollars into your campaign? Cory Booker also being, of course, the asshole among assholes who helped to stop a bill that was designed to make it possible for people to buy cheaper pharmaceuticals in Canada. Cory Booker having taken oodles and oodles and oodles of money from, Big Pharma. Or there's Heidi Heitkamp out in North Dakota, Stan. She's Joe Manchin without the good hair. Or, hey, Joe Manchin, who's about as much of a Democrat as I am, the supreme maximum overlord of the Space Navy of Norblap 9. And that's what makes politics such a pain in the ass. Because everybody wants the perfect candidate. And a lot of people understand that you can't have the perfect candidate because there's nothing in this world is perfect. And that you have to make the... Do you think that the framers of the Constitution sat down in Philadelphia in 1787 and every last one of the people there was an absolute genius? Because they weren't. They were nowhere near it. But John Jay and Alexander Hamilton and James Madison, the primary proponents of the idea of the Constitution, made do with what they had. Poor people understand the concept of making do. There have been conversations on this program in the past from people who talked about the reality of eating hot water ketchup soup with packets of ketchup that one purloined, that they purloined from the hamburger joint. And how if you grow up hard, there's usually a drawer in the kitchen, usually, and it's full of packages of ketchup and mustard and maybe even mayonnaise. Because it'll get you through a hard time. Poor folks understand about making do. Privileged people, on the other hand, often think that, and that's tough. That is tough indeed. So that's why I say if the Democrats can maintain a united front in 2018, and if I was a betting, I would not put so much as a $5 bill on that happening. I don't care what the odds were. And if my $5 bill would get me $5 million, for sure thing. But there are people like Cory Booker who make that very goddamn hard to do, and people like Joe Manchin who provide the shiny thing that provides the engine, fundraising scam. And make sure that people don't have their eyes on the prize. The subject line with a cherry on top. Note coming in from Steve, a member of the fraternity of Steve. It really amuses me, Steve writes, when people start getting too serious about just what fascism is or how to recognize it. Fascism is pretty much synonymous with the modern state, and modernism, in fact. It is no accident that such an egomaniac as Mussolini would desire a concept as much literary and avant-garde as anything remotely economic or ideological to promote and consolidate his grand vision of a new Roman Empire. The symbol, for what it's worth, is never the core reality. Technology, efficiency, rational economic organization, the cult of the enlightened supreme leader. These are outcomes of an historical process and culmination of social and industrial forces, of which late-stage capitalism is the highest expression, or terminal outcome. A science which no longer serves the needs of humanity, but rather the interests of a military predominance, is perhaps the most significant feature of a technocratic fascist police state. Remind you of any post-industrial information-heavy cyber superstate of late? I can think of a couple. By the way, those death camps people keep talking about, they have a name. Planet Earth. Whoa. No one here gets out alive. Hank Williams Jr. and Jim Morrison both said that. I think Hank Williams Jr. Well, I know Hank Williams Jr. said it before Jim Morrison said it. It is the common legacy of every living thing upon the planet. It's the how you get there part that defines some of the details. So we find ourselves at about 15 past the hour. Thank you, Darlene. Darlene in Connecticut, for your kind challenge this evening, and thank you for the responses to it that have allowed us to get caught up some and make reaching the end of May and beating the, they're not beating, but licking the Lithuanian and nudging the Norsky a little more likely. $30 more, we've caught up with tonight and last night's shortfall. $200 and $200, $230 more, and I don't mention fundraising tomorrow evening. Yeah. So we'll just see how that plays out. Let's take a break. If you want to participate in the program, you know how to get through, right? 304-574-8178. Or the stress line, which works for some people, not for others, 304-663-4676. And, of course, from anywhere on planet Earth, via Skype, Bob Kincaid Horn, B-O-B-K-I-N-C-A-I-D-H-O-R-N, Bob Kincaid Horn. And that's how it works. Of course, you can always... you can always email or tweet or any number of other means, Facebook, hell, Instagram, who knows what all. So it's all just entirely a matter of, and I'll be back to the chat room just as quick as the computer will let me. I think it may have let me in by now. So let's, as I mentioned, take a break. And see what shakes out. Just one second. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the horn. And we'll be back in a couple of minutes. Okie doke. Light up the phones if you want to. I'm Bob. Not so much about the band, but about the concept of flirting with disaster. Seemed appropriate to the moment. 22 minutes past the hour on this Titanic Tuesday on the Horn, the 30th day of May, 2017. And let's run over. We haven't heard from Tracy since she told us about her game show adventure, which said video I have now seen. And wow, Tracy.
Yes.
Loving the red dress. And you're right. There would have been a dead giveaway had there been a leakage problem.
Yeah, that would have been bad. That we could thank Laurel for finding that video.
Oh, yes, we can. Laurel was the Johnny on the spot and ran right out and bang there. And it wasn't just, you know, you were on that program or on that game show. That was the premier episode of that game show.
Episode of the show. Yes, it was. So, like I said, the scandal that would have ensued had I burst, you know, started leaking, my breast started leaking on national television 29 years ago, and you think about it now, I'd have my own reality TV show now if that happened now.
Oh, yeah. Here comes Leaky Tracy.
Here comes Leaky Tracy. I mean, you know, the leaky cab driver, you know, the Leaky Breast Cab Driver Diaries. I mean, the whole
you were thing. You were ahead of your time.
I was ahead of my time, but how many kids do you have? Three, four.
Four.
Four. So Agnes has gone through this four times. I only had to go through it once. But that pain, when you haven't been able to nurse your child all day, is a pain. I mean, and considering knowing the backstory of how much pain I was in, I forgot how I pulled that off. I mean, I was in pain. But you... considering that I was in so much pain, I think I did pretty good. Considering, other than the fact that when I felt that I was about to, you know, give way to, you know, early, you know, June shower, I was like, yeah, you know what? Let me just go ahead and fuck up that whole thing. But did you watch the whole thing? Did you watch Old Girl when she, you know, the question were states that are Republican? And this was in 1988. That's changed, hasn't it?
Yes.
Are those states that have changed? Because I was watching that, because I was naming some states, and I'm like, wait a minute, those states are still this was in, you know, 1988. I was just like, you know, how things have changed in 29 years.
Different time, different world.
Speaking of how things, I was listening to this radio show. You know, did you know this, that during the 1981 inaugural ball or whatever performance that Ben Vereen performed in blackface?
I think I remember here, but it wasn't at the top of one of the wrinkles in my cerebral cortex. But
well, apparently, because this brother is actually doing a play and about what really happened. He was doing a tribute to Ben Williams. He was a, you know, African American performer during minstrel times, and the only way he could actually perform on stage as a black man was to wear blackface. So now in Ben Vereen, so what the whole thing was, he was going to wear blackface. The performance was in two parts. The first part was him doing blackface and doing the whole thing. And then the second part was him to remove the blackface and try to buy the, you know, definitely mostly white audience a drink as a black man. But of course, not being able to do so because he was black. And that was the whole point. That, you know, as a testament to the, you know, race relations of black Americans and the Republican Party, as you know, especially, you know, Ronald Reagan. But what happened, apparently ABC promised him that they were going to air the whole thing, but they didn't. they only aired the first part of the show. And they cut the second part, and filled it with Donnie and Marie singing some stupid song. So now you have, because I don't think many black people, I know I sure as hell didn't watch the inauguration in 1981. My 15-year-old self, because I didn't care. But I'm pretty sure the black folks that were older didn't watch it either. But you could have, Ossie Davis called it a travesty. Oh, Ben Vereen got so much shit that it took him years for his, because he just come off, winning the Tony for Pippin, had the Emmy nomination for Roots. So he was, high in his career. But then this happened. So you could only imagine what happened to him in the black community as a result. So, fast forward years later, this brother is actually doing a play about what happened. And he's actually showing that, he actually met Ben Vereen a few years. He was a big fan because he actually saw, I guess he was on the East Coast or whatever, but he actually saw the whole thing. Of course, most people hadn't. And so he saw Ben Vereen at a birthday party out here. Of course, where else would you see Ben Vereen but at a kid's birthday party? And he, introduced himself to Mr. Vereen and had a nice conversation until he mentioned that performance, and then the whole thing shut down. But then he assured him that it was coming from a place of admiration because he actually saw the whole performance. And so that's when he decided to do this play with the blessing of Ben Vereen. But can you imagine? You're Ben Vereen.
I've been sitting here trying to figure out. I even went and looked up, Tracy. That was a Tuesday. I was in the second semester of my senior year of high school, and I would have worked that night my regular radio shift from 7 to midnight. So I didn't see it because there were no TVs there.
Right.
And I was too busy spinning Squire Parsons singing Beulah Land and the Chuck Wagon Gang and the Happy Goodman Family. And all, so I did. And I guess it didn't come across on the UPI wire either.
Right. See, in 1981, in January, I would have been 14 going on 15. So like I said, it wouldn't have been something that it definitely wasn't, I can guarantee you, it wasn't on in my house. I can promise you that much. So that wasn't happening. So it wasn't like we would be watching anything that had anything to do with Reagan. And who was Blick? I'm trying to remember who was my mother married to at the time. That was terrible.
Fortunately for you, Mama is not listening.
Yeah, it is fortunate that my mother is not listening because I had to.
We can't even get Alex to listen. So, I mean. Yeah.
Well, no. Now that he's actually said he's going to start listening to the show. But I was 14.
No, he took the suggestion for the artichoke hearts on the meatball sub, and we'll never hear from him again.
So I was 14. So Mom was on third marriage, or fourth, or second. I don't remember. Anyway, either marriage, it wouldn't have mattered. Ronnie and Nancy wouldn't have been on the television at my house, because that's something that is something I would have remembered. I remember, there's certain things that you remember. I remember when, Jubilation, when Carter was, when he won. I remember when Clinton won each time. I remember the deep, dark hole of depression that was me when Bush won, not once but twice. And then the joyous, celebration. My TV was on, damn near 24/7 when, during the inauguration, first inauguration for President Obama. So there are certain things you remember. But I that was actually the first time I actually watched, because I didn't even watch if memory serves, because I definitely voted for Clinton on both elections. But I know I didn't watch him being sworn in. I didn't watch the balls. I didn't care. I'm like, well, the white guy, another white guy's president, whatever. not going to do a bit of good for me. But you know, I voted. I'm a Democrat. That's what we do.
Well, now you sent me down another road. I'm sitting here trying to figure out what was on TV that night.
Is there a way to find out when what was on? So that would have been January 20th, 1981.
Yeah.
What else would have been on television?
Well, according to what I've got here, Tuesday nights, which that was, would have been ABC. ABC had the Happy Days, Laverne and Shirley, Three's Company, Too Close for Comfort, Heart to Heart. That was a murderer's row, as evidenced by the fact that in CBS that CBS had things like The White Shadow and the CBS Tuesday Night Movies. NBC had NBC Tuesday Night at the Movies. Although in the winter and spring they moved over to Lobo, BJ and the Bear and Nero Wolf, and the Steve Allen Comedy Hour in October, and Flamingo Road.
Now Flamingo Road. Oh my God.
Oh my God, you remember that?
Yes. Oh my God, and BJ and the Bear, Greg Evigan and the Monkey. And Flamingo Road. Yes. And of course, well, see, apparently, so I'm thinking, was ABC the only channel that showed the inaugural ball or the performances? Because, like I said, from according to what I was reading, because once I heard the show on the radio and I was able to pull over, I did as much research as I can find. And like I said, the brother that's doing the play said, you know, that's what happened, that ABC promised Ben Vereen that they would show the whole performance. And they fucked him. They fucked him, but good. Because just as, you know, so the people in the, you know, the people that were there saw it. But, you know, could you imagine, do you think that the audience full of Republicans even got what Ben Vereen was trying to say?
Republicans? Are you kidding me?
That's what I'm saying. For Ben Vereen to take such a chance that to do that, you know, I mean, of course, he was thinking that, you know, first of all, let's face it. Like I just said, I mean, I'm only one black person, but I can only imagine not many black folks tuned in was watching out here the ABC affiliate in Los Angeles is Channel 7. I can't imagine too many of the black folks that I knew out here at January 20th, 1981, I'm watching on Channel 7, this was watching this, because I guess apparently it was only on one channel, because now it would have been on every channel, right? Oh, wait, the balls don't, only the inauguration is on every channel. The ball and all that sort of stuff and the performances, that's not on every channel, right? Every channel.
No. And I mean, CNN was on the air by then, cable-wise.
Right.
So they probably carried it.
They probably carried it. But his efforts were in vain, because it was that chance that he took, even if it had been aired, the whole thing, not many people who would have gotten it would have been watching it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. It does. The fact that it's a piece of history that is largely forgotten speaks volumes.
Right. Because let's face it, I don't think, I mean, had you seen it, you would have been how? Because you're 2 years. You would have been.
Oh, I was coming up on my 18th birthday.
So you were 17 going on 18.
Yeah, I was. I was 11 days from my 18th birthday.
Would you have gotten what he was trying to do? I wouldn't have gotten it.
I'm guessing. If I saw the whole thing, I'm guessing I would have.
Right.
Because I was pretty tuned in. By that point in time, I was pretty tuned in.
I
you know, when I wasn't when I wasn't tuned out and turned on.
Yeah. 14 going on 15-year-old Tracy Porter probably would not have gotten it. I mean, I kind of knew about blackface, but not the implications as to what black. I knew it was a bad thing, but I didn't know just how bad. And I now, since I've heard of Ben Williams, I know who he is and I know his story. So Tracy.
And I also had the benefit of, you know, we had cable very early. And so when we got what was then WTCG and then became TBS and then became the Superstation, every Sunday morning they ran Academy Award Theater. And so somewhere along the way, I saw Al Jolson in blackface from the jazz singer.
Oh, right. But like I said, I've seen the jazz singer too in my younger years, not knowing the implications of blackface and not knowing what it was and not knowing that it was to, you know, it was ridiculing, you know, because even in my younger days, I saw Birth of a Nation and not understanding what that movie was really about, you know. So there's things that you see when you're younger that you have no idea what you're watching.
Well, and it doesn't, with Birth of a Nation, it doesn't help that they say, you know, I mean, even in like Hollywood histories and filmographies and, well, you know, the Birth of a Nation. It doesn't say based upon the novel beloved of Woodrow Wilson called The Klansman, in which the Klansman is the hero.
Exactly. And you see the Klans, you know, the KKK riding in to save the day. And what did Woodrow Wilson say? This was history written lightning, with lightning or something like that, you racist. It is one of those things, whenever I hear like something named after Woodrow Wilson, it makes my stomach turn for the racist bastard that he was. But he was the president, so that doesn't, because he was president, he wasn't a racist. The logic of some people. It's like, no, he was a racist. He was a big-ass racist. I mean, he actually had showings of Birth of the Nation in the White House. It was the greatest, to him, it was the greatest film ever made. Even though it was one of the first films ever made, but still.
See, everybody thinks about Woodrow Wilson from the context of, oh, well, you know, he was the president of Princeton University. Bullshit. He was a Virginian. And
right.
And in fact, he went to military school at a military academy in Stanton, Virginia, that whose campus is now part of a women's college there in Stanton.
Oh, shit. Really?
He was sent off to march up and down the square and learn how to be a fine little Virginia soldier, and then he went off to college. But he was a Virginian, and so he had a natural affinity for the Klan. Woodrow Wilson. I mean, you get all this making the world safe for democracy bullshit, but he doesn't fare so well. History, not so much. At least not in my book.
But anybody that knows anything about what history really is, like you said, yeah, and it's not like, oh, the jury's still out on his ass. No.
But see, that's one of those things, Tracy, where, and I think Dr. Bill would be better at this than I, with this particular issue. But, and I know you've heard it. When somebody like Ben Carson or Alan West Keyes,
Larry Elder,
will say they in or you know the white sheep of the family, Dr. Alvoida King. You know, because who's all worried about the precious little fetuses.
Ooh, these motherfuckers. But they're not worried about the kids. You know, they're not worried about the babies after they've been born.
Oh, no, them little fuckers are on their own after they're born. Right.
Or accessible to food, you know, or education. But, you know,
right, but sooner or later, those nasty asses will say, oh, Dr. King was a registered Republican. And then they'll say something like, it was the Democratic Party that was the party of slavery. And because we don't teach civics and history worth a tinkum, people don't understand that there has been a constant fluidity in the United States. So while Woodrow Wilson can be a racist Democrat, 1912, all right,
mm-hmm. I didn't see anything. I'm sorry.
No.
Okay, go ahead.
The form of progressivism in the 20th century was largely the Republican Party, and that's after, you know, the Republican Party is cobbled together out of Whigs and a couple of other little minor nothing parties. Lincoln was a Whig when he went to Congress, but the Republican Party coalesces out of all those small parties, and because of the split in the Democratic Party between the North and the South prior to the Civil War, which couldn't get its shit together, Lincoln wins. And during the period of the Civil War, it is largely viewed as an abolitionist party.
Yes.
But it's also a party of money. Big money.
Big money.
And so you have people like Salmon P. Chase, who is Lincoln's Secretary of the Treasury, I believe, from Ohio. Is it Salmon P. Chase that I'm thinking of? And he introduces the idea of hobnobbing with industrialists who can provide debt, who can buy debt from the United States, as a means of financing the war effort. So the United States doesn't have to fight the Civil War with its hands tied behind its back. Is that who I'm thinking? I could be wrong. So Lincoln gets assassinated, and within precisely no time flat, the Republican Party is transformed into a party of money-grubbing tycoons.
Yep.
And you get that slow movement toward progressivism in the latter part of the 19th century up into the 20th century, and then boom, along comes Warren Gamaliel Harding and his vice president Calvin Coolidge, and all of that's gone.
The Republican Party was like all this progressivism. I mean, you had radical Republicans that were pissed off at some of the other Republicans because they weren't doing shit fast enough as far as, you know, what to do about these southern states, these traitors, they didn't even want to let them back into the Union. Like, you, until you do this, 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 and this, you will not be let back into the Union. You know, you have to acknowledge the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment, and not only acknowledge it, but actually, you know, work it and all these things. You had to do this X, Y, and Z for the slave, you know, former slaves and all this. The United States government was, you know, trumped down in these southern states, making sure that they did what they were supposed to do. And then the Klan was like, oh, no. Not just the Klan coming in and doing, you know, what they're doing, what they do best, you know, domestic terrorism. But then, you know, the aggrieved white folks up in the North and some in the South were tired of taking care of black people because, you know, well, we've got enough for the Negroes. So we're going to pull, you know, the troops out of the South. And then, you know, the Southern states could do whatever the fuck they wanted to do. Did I pretty much get that?
You're pretty well right on top of it. And it was Salmon P. Chase, by the way. And
so People forget that part about the Republican, you know, when they say, well, Lincoln was a Republican and, well, you know, black people. Yes, we were part of the Republican Party up until, what was it, after World War, up and going until.
Well, you know, it's 1948 when Strom Thurmond splits from the Democratic Party and runs as a third party candidate for the presidency on nothing but pure unmitigated racism.
It is just straight up racist.
And that provides a little bit of a warning, a hint of a sea change. And then frankly with the arrival of President Kennedy and the fact that his administration began glacially, slowly, all too slowly, to acknowledge the problem. And then, after his assassination, with Johnson and the Voting Rights Act and the Civil Rights Act,
Johnson said it.
Johnson said, we've lost the South for a generation.
For a generation. And how many generations has it been, Bob?
Couple.
This was 1968?
Well, 65. 64 and 65, right.
So within both of our lives, I mean, I was a boy until 66, but relatively within yours and sort of part into mine, because I was born in 66. So I'm in that weird, that I'm not old enough to be a baby boomer, but I'm not young enough.
There's a real world effect here, and we saw it.
And then we have Nixon's Southern strategy.
Well, there's that too, but there's also a real world effect within the Democratic Party that we need to be cognizant of, and I talked about it some back during the primaries last year, but I tiptoed around it, frankly. The base of the modern Democratic Party in the South and in a lot of the other parts of the country is people of color.
Yep.
Okay. A lot of terrified white folks whose minds were preyed upon by the Southern strategy, among other things, by Reagan talking about welfare queens.
And you know,
went over to the Republican Party. And so, consequently, the base of the Democratic Party, especially in the Deep South, is African-American people. And what happened is, and it was well documented, you know, I don't care what Brain says. I mean, I've got an actual record of advocating fiercely for Bernie during the primary process. But
I've heard you talked about Bernie. I remember quite fiercely that you said you were going to vote for Bernie, and because you said this is the only time I'm going to get a chance to vote for Bernie. I'm going to vote for him in my primary.
Right, and see the thing that the people out there who keep hooting things like neoliberal shill establishment hack DNC. Blah, 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 blah. What they're doing is they are basically shitting on not the DNC, but the base of the Democratic Party. And what it is, in large part, is a whole bunch of white folks saying, black folks got it wrong. If only the black folks would have been smart. If only the Southern black folks would have been smart enough to vote for Bernie instead of that Hillary, well, we wouldn't be in this mess. And I'm sorry, and like I said, I tiptoed around it because that was a statement I was not necessarily willing to make in its fullness. Because what you had in the South was people deciding they would go with the devil they knew instead of the angel they didn't.
They knew Hillary.
Yeah.
And Bernie, you know. I don't know, because
they knew Bubba.
I don't remember, and they knew Billy Boy. So, you know, the quote-unquote first black president. Yeah. And some, I actually saw footage of somebody actually asking during the primaries when Obama was running against Hillary, do you actually think that, you know, somebody actually asked this question to Obama if he believed that Clinton was the first black president. Bob, somebody actually asked that question. And I'm sitting there, I just saw this recently, and I don't remember what I was watching that I saw this, but I'm sitting there with my mouth agape, like, no, you did not just ask this black man that question. I mean, and Obama being the politician that he is, where he's like, well, I'm just going to have to check his dancing and, you know, typical black stereotypes that if, you know, Clinton was truly the first black president, that he would be able to do certain things. As you know, as a stereotypical black man, but to ask questions like that, but you know, I don't know how well Bernie did. How well did Bernie do in the South? Did
he got his ass handed to him?
Right, he did.
And that was a matter of strategy on the part of the Clinton campaign. They knew that all those Southern states came early on so that they would provide her with what they called a firewall against Bernie, and it proved to be necessary because basically she won the primaries by the margin that she gathered in the South.
And that was, and let's face it, had Bernie had a stronger foothold in the South, we might even be saying President Sanders or.
I think there's about maybe a 90-10 chance, 10% chance that Bernie would have beaten Trump.
Because this country
went barking, fucking mad
over T-Rump.
Yeah.
Because Bernie, and you know, like I said, people went barking mad for Trump because he was, you know, and I'm doing air quotes, he was the true outsider. He cared about the little man, you know. He went and talked to people that Hillary didn't talk to, and that's how, you know, all these people who voted for Obama twice voted for Obama voting for Trump. That's what I'm hearing. I still don't, you know, but how many, what was the percentage?
It's not that large. It's not that large a number. The analysis was done. I went over it on those Obama voters who flip-flopped to Trump. There really weren't that many of them. And so, you know, you've got people say, oh, wow, yeah, Bernie would have won Wisconsin. Bernie would have won Michigan. Yeah, okay. He still would have lost his ass in Florida.
He still would have had his ass had
and,
to him
and
in,
frankly,
you know,
there wasn't the problem in Pennsylvania was people of color who didn't come out. I mean, that's what the analysis tends to indicate, who just stayed home because they weren't excited. And
they weren't. I wasn't excited. Hey, Bob.
Yeah, I know. It's a grown up thing. It's a grown up thing. I know. It's not really. I got to be excited to vote. I got to be excited. What are you going to? I get a cookie?
Jad and I, because I'm a registered by mail voter, but I took my ballot up to, I had to do a provisional ballot because I couldn't find my mail-in ballot because it got screwed up somehow. This last election was kind of a clusterfuck because they sent it to the wrong address. I mean, it was a mess. And so I didn't have my mail-in ballot because my plan was I wasn't going to mail in my ballot for this because this election was just, it was too much riding on this election to mail in my ballot. I was going to walk it up to our polling place and just put it because you could just put the mail in ballot in any polling place in the box. But I didn't have it, so I had to do a provisional ballot. But Jan and I went to the polling place because there was, California knew was going for Hillary. It wasn't even a question. The whole, you know, California, Oregon, and Washington, we knew we were going for Hillary. But that, unfortunately, wasn't enough to keep us from this hell that we're in called, you know, Donald Trump. But it saddens me that, like you said, that we have this man who goes to it, who's such a fucking idiot, that he goes into Israel and says, I just got back to the Middle East. Motherfucker, you're still in the Middle East. Do you not have the brain capacity to know that Israel is in the Middle East?
No, it's not a capacity thing. It's an illness thing, okay?
I mean, that is one of the reasons, if you knew anything about, you know, Israel and, you know, and the, you know, Israel is right there in the middle of the Middle East, pretty much.
Yep.
So you have all these Middle Eastern countries, and then, bam, here's Israel. If you had any sense or even bothered to open them, if Jared and Ivanka had said, okay, here's a map. This is where we're going. Here's Israel. Here's, you know, the Saudi Arabia. Here's this. This is that. This is why there's such a contention between Israel and the Muslim world, because Israel is right dip-dap in the middle of the Muslim world. Got a problem there.
You're now qualified to be president of the United States, Tracy. You're overqualified.
I'm overqualified at this point. But when he is, you know, there were so many head-slapping moments on this trip. Like when he knocked over the prime minister. Was that Moldavia?
Moldova, yes.
So he could get into the, so he could be in the front. It's just like, really? And then talking shit about Germany? Right there?
I know.
When you're in front of people. And it's like, and then he gets back here. They finally gave him his phone back.
And away he goes.
So they finally go, and away he goes. And away he fucking goes. And it's like, it was so nice, because how long ago was he gone? Was he gone like a week?
9 days.
Nine days.
On the one hand, yeah, it was nice. On the other, it was, goddamn, this is embarrassing.
I mean, this is embarrassing. I mean, 9 days of a tweet.
I mean, he was one step away from going. And this is no insult to people with mobility issues. Okay. Hover rounds are great for people who have a hard time getting around.
Yes.
But the president of the United States of America was one vehicle away from puttering around the G7 in a fucking hover round.
But and didn't he was saying about Hillary's stamina?
After having campaigned on what a goddamn tough guy he is.
Right. I'm going to do this. He was so exhausted, he had to have Ivanka.
And so there won't be a press conference, and even if there was a press conference, there won't be a member of the Johnny-on-the-spot White House press corps with quite enough courage, and they've shown some courage, to say, by the way, what was wrong with you that you needed to be chauffeured in a golf cart?
A golf cart.
While all the other world leaders were walking under their own power.
But you're not going to take off.
And I'm probably going to be accused of ableism for that, and that's not my intention.
He scoured Obama for his golf vacation. This man has gone on vacation, has been on vacation more in his first, how long has he been president? January, so that's February, March, April, May. Let's might as well say it June. 5 months. 5 months?
Thereabouts.
And he's already ready to out. Almost 5 months now.
Well, four months and 11 days.
It feels like 5 years, let's face it. Or 50.
Yeah, it does.
And he's already in league to outspend the first Obama in a year or almost his whole presidency. How many times, you know, of how much he was spending his ass to go on vacation. Or, you know, because we're paying for Secret Service, for Mar-a-Lago, for What's wrong with Bob? What's wrong with Camp David?
Camp David's a wonderful place.
Isn't that what Camp David is for? For foreign dignitaries and all these things, you know, and a security clearance. That you don't have to worry about, you know, onlookers and, you know, club members and all that. If he, you know, decides to, you don't have to worry because he's such an idiot, you know, secrets being leaked out and all that, because at least we're at Camp David. And that stuff is.
But I don't know if you've seen the latest, but you remember the org? Okay, so it was Montenegro, Ace is telling me, not Moldova. My bad.
Okay, my bad. I knew it was an M, and I knew it ended in the vowel. But I knew that I saw him push that man. Yeah.
Okay, Ace is not helping some more. He said, or Moldavia. Oh, please.
You know what, Ace?
Really? Ace, yeah, really? You know, it's Ace's, so there'll be a mayonnaise remark in a minute. Okay, just
yeah. See, somehow mayonnaise will get worked into the conversation somehow, some way.
But no, there's. So you remember the orb?
Yes, the glowing orb of light that everybody that him and let's not forget the sword dance.
No, but the orb. So you talk about the. Diminution of American prestige. The leaders of what was referred to as the Nordic countries, I'm presuming by that we mean Norway, Finland, and not Sweden, Denmark, you know, that, right.
Where they have socialized medicine and stuff like that.
They tweeted out a photo.
Oh, no. What did they do?
Somebody handed them a soccer ball, and they all put their hands on the soccer ball.
Oh.
And tweeted out that was the source, that you know, that's really the source of all power. Yeah, sure. I mean, I'm not getting after you or anything. Go ahead, laugh. It's funny. But it's not funny,
but
too.
It's not funny, too. Because, I mean, what was the point of that?
Yeah, I mean, I can hear him showing the pit. They'd never, see, that's the thing. No one would ever dare show that photo to Comrade Kumquat. But you can almost hear him saying, why do they laugh at my mighty orb? I have the best orbs. Tremendous best orbs. Orb. Fabulous orbs.
They're bigly. He is... To hear him speak, he is the nails on the chalkboard of life. To hear him speak. Because we had, you know, out here on the West Coast with that fool, the Trump supporter, who killed those two people that were trying to, you know, defuse the situation on a light rail train up out in Oregon. He did mention something about it, but I don't think he said something about, you know, my supporters.
Well, it took the better part of a day for him to say anything anyway.
Right.
And now, of course, we've got another incident in your own home state of California.
Oh, do tell, Bob. What have I missed?
Oh, you're not aware?
No.
So...
What?
Oh, here we go. The story comes out of... trying to find exactly where. Sandra shared this. Ah, Clear Lake, California. Know where that is?
Never heard of it.
It's in Lake County.
No, but it sounds like somewhere that's either in Central or Northern California.
Okay. Well, Saturday night, he was standing outside some apartments, screaming what are described in the article as racist slurs at several people. Then he went back into his apartment and came back out with a machete.
Oh, here it is. Man arrested for machete stabbing. Okay.
And he stabbed a guy in the shoulder while screaming racist slurs at him. Now, I think, just to be fair, we have to point out that he probably was suffering from terrible economic anxiety.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Aren't they? I mean, isn't that why they do these things?
Mm-hmm.
Then chicken shit that he is, he didn't even stand around to get blown away. He ran back into his apartment and barricaded himself in and engaged in a standoff with police.
But he's still alive, though, right? Or did they blow him away?
No, he's very much alive. He's been arrested.
Mm-hmm.
At least they didn't take him to Burger King.
Right.
And then, beyond the Portland stabbing, something, and I'm ashamed for not having mentioned it, I should have, the stabbing and murder of 23-year-old Richard Collins III.
Wait, where was that? Because I heard about that. Where was that?
Maryland.
Yes, I heard about.
He was due to graduate. Richard Collins III was due to graduate from Bowie State University in Maryland, and receive his commission as a second lieutenant in the United States Army.
Mm-hmm.
And he was minding his own business. He'd gone to visit somebody on the University of Maryland campus, and a white supremacist by the name of Sean Urbanski came up and stabbed him to death.
Yep. I read that earlier because I read an article how white terrorists killed more Americans this week than refugees have in 40 years.
Right. Exactly.
And so that was in response to the one that you just mentioned and the Portland, Oregon murders.
Yeah, exactly.
But when are we going to have a ban on radicalized Christians?
Yeah, sorry. No. Because anybody who does that is mentally...
Those are
mentally ill people, and they are not domestic white supremacist, alt-right, Republican-voting fucking neo-Nazi terrorists. Just get that out of your head.
See, but I would go to that part. When we start banning, you know, radicalized, the white supremacist, like you said, alt-right, hating, you know, people. Did you see, I just sent it to you a little while ago, about that the video that I sent you about Wrap My Hijab?
Yes.
You have to, if you get it, you should, it is the most awesome thing. I was listening to, because my radio station, KPFK, is in the middle of a fund drive, so they eat this constant, you know, give us money. So I'm reduced to listening to.
Oh, you mean like me?
No, it's different for you. See, the thing is, you mention it, but you still do your show. When KPFK.
What do they do? Run a test tone?
Oh my God, dude! They'll do like snippets of what they, you know, what their, you know, their gift is. They'll, you know, of what the gift is, like they're doing. And I'm actually considering pledging, just so I can get this and send it to you. But it's like 13,000 hours of different things from like Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, James Baldwin. Just a whole, you just, they call it like, I forget what they call it. They even have the reading of George Orwell's 1984, and it's all on a thumb drive.
Oh, wow.
And
that's a neat little idea. Must have taken.
Yeah, I mean, if you pledge.
I'm sure they paid somebody to do the mass loading, but still, that's a neat idea.
It's like 13,000 hours.
Well, and you talk about their fund drive.
I got to interrupt for just a second here, because I need to get a message out to Ron and Raleigh, because we've got a case of gimmick infringement here. You know how nobody but Ron and Raleigh is allowed to use Bob 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 as the subject line of an email.
Right.
Right. Well, I just got an email from Daily Kos.
Who's
that?
Who?
You know, Daily Kos.
Okay.
And
no,
the subject.
That's what I'm asking.
Daily Kos, Kos, whatever. And the subject line.
Daily Kos, KOS. Okay.
Yeah. And the subject line is Bob, Bob, Bob.
What?
It's weird. I'm telling you, it's weird. Somebody's listening to the program again.
They are listening to the program because, like you said, I mean, who said it that how many times have they watched Saturday Night Live or listened to one of the other talk shows and they use, you know, something that we said that you said on the show? And
well,
the next thing you know.
So get this. And you brought this to my attention, reminded me of this when you talked about the fundraising drive over at KPFK, because, you know, we're trying to finish off last night with $30 and $200 to finish off May. Okay, so $230. Well, I mean, I realize that's a lot, because I just note from Daily Kos saying Bob, Bob, Bob is just $65,080.03 away from closing the books on May. Can $5 to get us there?
Right. And I get those same emails, too.
I feel pretty itty-bitty significant. I don't know. I mean, does by midnight, midnight tomorrow? I don't know.
I don't know. The only way they would disappear from the internet is if, you know, the Trump and his minions, if, you know, FCC people like you who, you know, depend on, you know, you don't have the range of the Daily Kos. Is it Daily Kos or Daily, is Kos?
Tomato, tomato.
Okay, because I say Kos, you say Kos, 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 tomato, tomato. But, if they do.
No, I don't.
So the only, like I said, the only way a lot of people will no longer be on the internet is if, you know, internet,
net neutrality.
Right? Can I, what? Thank you. Net neutrality, if that's which they're trying to do, you know, if somehow that starts to change, then there will be issues. But right now, as it stands, I don't see them going away. But then again, they do have an operating budget just like everybody else. But, you know, like I said, I've been listening to Petroleum National Radio because KPFK, they're fun. See, it's so funny, the difference between is KPCC out here, that's our national, the NPR station out here. Did you know that Ray, who was the founder of McDonald's? What's his name? Kroc?
Ray Kroc.
Ray Kroc. Do you know that his widow, left NPR $200 million
her will? Not surprising.
And so when they have their fundraising is so different from KTFK because, you know, and because they have all these things. Because, you know, it's so funny because I never listened to the station before. But now, since KPFK is on their, like, their fourth week of their fund drive, it's so different because, like I said, KPFK is not regular programming during their fund drive. You know, like you said, you'll mention the funds from time to time throughout the program.
And it drives me batshit doing it.
Okay. But see, KPFK, they take blocks of shows, and that's all they talk about throughout the block of the entire show. And so, like, Brad's show, Brad Freeman, during the fund drive, his show's not even on during those weeks. Because that's all they do is talk about fund drive, fundraising. So, shows that you
only listen to. Right, and Richard pointing out in the chat room, KPFK is Pacifica, not affiliated with NPR, but just so people are clear on
right.
that. Right.
Yeah, please. Because, see, their stuff, when like right now, they're doing their fund drive, but their fund drive is different. their fund drive is go to our website and bid on stuff that have been donated through our listeners or whatever, like, you know, massages, some acapella group in somebody's backyard, and vegan barbecues and stuff like that. But throughout this,
wait, a vegan barbecue? Quit it! Now you just did. You just said that to get under my skin.
I did not. I'm not making it up.
What the do you barbecue if you're a vegan?
Tofu-dee? Or
tofurkey?
Tofurkey, or, you know, they have, you know, a veggie burger.
Now I'll get it. Now I'll get hateful emails from the vegans. No offense. I just.
But so it's so. But see, but then again, they have all these different people that are funding them. You know, they have, you know, Exxon, and they have, you know, so they can only. And I've been listening to their programming, and it is interesting. And a lot of it is very informative, because I wouldn't have found out about that video that I sent you about Wrap My Hijab. And I wouldn't have heard about Ben Vereen and the whole blackface thing. And there's a lot of stuff that I would never have heard of.
Absolutely.
Had I not been, seriously, I've never listened to, because I have never had a wanting to, because I know who they represent. But, you know, and they can't delve as deeply into climate, you know, as much as they talk about climate change, they can't talk about it too much, because who funds them? They can't get into the nitty gritty of it, because who funds them? And it's like all these different law firms and these hedge funds and all these different firms that, and I'm listening to all these people. See, they have all these fundings, so they don't have to do like KPFK has to do, and have these. I mean, this fund drive has really been going on since the beginning of May, and it's driving me fat shit crazy, because like every time I turn on, I want to listen to, like, you know, Margaret Prescott or Brad Freeman, or, you know, all these other amazing shows that are local and national. And all that, and it's such a different energy, because it's like listening to PBS for the radio. Nobody gets really excited, and it could be really boring. I mean, like I said, but it's very interesting. But that rap, the story behind it was so funny. Well, the woman who was interviewed, the one woman who did the video, she's like, I actually have. Only me, she's like, I can't believe I've actually got two groups together, Orthodox Muslims and hate groups, because they both hate my video.
Well, that
talks about
that would
it's hilarious.
Fundies is fundies is fundies is fundies, okay? I mean, it just
right.
is.
Right, and see, you and
you started something, Tracy. I got Hoghead in the chat room going, not on my grill. Sorry, not sorry. Vegan barbecues.
Right. Vegan.
Scott and Punky down in San Diego. Vegan barbecue. How do they keep the soybeans from falling through the spaces in the grating?
Well,
and I just figured the tofu. You know, if I tried to smoke a big old hunk of tofu, the tofu would just like melt, wouldn't it?
Well,
I mean, it probably tastes okay once the flavor of the hickory infused it and everything, but it just melt.
Well, you know, they have those things that you put on the grill that keeps the stuff from going through the grill. So if you really want the smokiness of the, you know, in your tofu or in your, because my uncle, and I have an uncle and aunt who are fish, not vegan. But the vegetarians, and when we would barbecue, they would grill their veggie burgers on the grill.
And, so you know, my buddies over at Secret Sandwich Society have developed a veggie burger, and the damn thing is delicious.
Oh, yeah.
The base of it is black bean, and it's got some spice to it, and it's yummy. I had a wee tiny little taste, and it was right nice.
There's, had I stayed longer, when I went to try, and I'm going to be trying them again next week, by the way, for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire, there's a place.
Wait, what was that again? Say that again. What?
I said, I'm going to be trying out again next week for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. I'm a masochist. No, sadist. Masochist? No, masochist.
Masochist, yes.
Yeah, so I had to get it right. So I'm going to try it again now that I have a better take on, like I said, I know I got more right than I got wrong. And I have to, because like this morning when I had to get up for work, I was pissed that I wasn't a millionaire.
You still got the red dress?
Oh, God, honey, even if I did, I wouldn't. That's another thing, my mom, because I sent my mom that video, because my mom was in Atlanta this past week, because a couple of my nieces were graduating from middle, somebody was graduating from elementary to middle school, somebody was graduating from middle school to high school, and then someone was graduating from high school. So we had, you know, in one day, like three graduations. And so I sent that video to my mom and to my siblings that were going to be at the event. So it was a hit throughout my family down in Atlanta. And I'm like, my mom said, my God, look how skinny you were. I'm like, yes, if I were, I would love to be that size because I was basically probably a size 8, maybe a size 10 at the large. So even if I still had that red dress, there's no way my ass could get into it now. No way. Even. No. My breasts, even though they're not the size, I wish I had the breasts that I had when I filmed that. But it's so funny when I was looking at, I was watching that video and I'm like, It's still me, but my son is so cruel. Not cruel, but he goes, that voice, he's like, that's not the same voice you have now. I don't remember ever hearing that voice. I said, well, see, that was 22-year-old. Well, I had just turned 22. I had a baby, you know what my son said? This is terrible. And I thought I was bad. My son said that voice that I had on that video was the voice of a Tracy who still liked white people.
Ooh. Now, see, when old pictures of me come up and Fur or one of the kids will say, gee, Dad.
What happened?
What happened to your hair?
Yes.
I'll go, y'all happened to my hair.
And that's what I told Alex. I said, it wasn't that I still like white people. But it was just before the world beat my ass down. And I knew, and I said, it wasn't that I don't like white people now. I just, now I know more now what they're capable of than I did at 22. At 22, I was, still actually in my valley speak. Still, like I said, I was a different person. I didn't even, let's see, 1988, we were how many months away from George W. becoming the which president? Yeah. And we were still, Reagan was still president, right? Yes. Reagan was still president in September of 88. So we were in the middle of a campaign, weren't we, Bob? Oh, my God. Now you got to start thinking about what was happening in September of 1988. We were 2 months away from George W. becoming president of the United States. Who ran the?
I mean, Bush War One was still in the future.
Right.
Even the magnificent. Subduing of Panama and the capture of former dear Bush friend Manuel Noriega,
who just died,
who just went to his long home. Well,
so you know, and not, well, where he, him, and where all of his buddies are, hopefully, But September of 1988, we were still recovering from Reagan, but I don't think this country, and the only thing we knew about Donald Trump is that he was some guy that lived, some millionaire.
Yeah, 1988, that point of time in 1988, let's put this in perspective, Michael Dukakis was still fucking up his campaign.
See, like I said, I don't remember that. See, like I said,
Michael Dukakis had probably been completely humiliated by the "Would you execute the man who raped your wife?" Governor
right.
Dukakis question from Bernie Shaw of CNN. That was Bernie Shaw, if I recall correctly. And he had gone toddling around in a tank. Right, all but guaranteeing the election of Poppy Bush.
Poppy Bush. But, you know, 22-year-old Tracy Porter was not keenly at all aware of, of course, I voted for Dukakis because I was trying to remember who was running for president in 1980. I mean, yeah, I remember, you know, Pappy Bush, but I couldn't remember who he was running against. Oh, my God. But I remember, but I was just like, mother of God. What, you know, 22-year-old Tracy, as opposed to now, soon to be.
Here, you want to know how far, you know, you want to know how long ago that was? I'll tell you how long ago that was. Michael Dukakis carried the state of West Virginia.
Get out. But wasn't he winning the election? Wasn't he doing pretty? Wasn't he ahead until that video, until that commercial about him pardoning or paroling?
Willie Horton. Willie Horton.
Willie Horton.
Yep. He got Willie Horton.
They were. Well, it was.
Yep. Michael Dukakis is going to let black men rape the white women all over America.
All over America. So we can't have him running. We can't have him. Well, it's the same thing as the Bush campaign too did to, I did not even realize until these things that you find out that I didn't even realize that McCain ran against Bush, the Bush Jr. whatever.
Oh yeah, that was the campaign where he was slimed in South Carolina with a black
love child.
Would you still vote for John McCain if you knew he had a nigra baby?
Right, and when the Republican Party tries to say that they are not racist, that they don't do shit based on race,
And by the way, you know, there's a couple of things out there that probably deserve mention since a black Santa Claus doll was found hanging by the neck from a rope off the rooftop of Wakefield High School in Raleigh, North Carolina, along with a white sheet spray painted with the words "Make Wakefield Trip Again," because they don't like their black principal. They want their white principal back. And,
but we don't have a problem with race, and then the other day,
a noose was found at the Hirshhorn Museum of the Smithsonian Institution in Washington, D.C.
Oh, speaking of white people who have nothing better, have you watched?
I'm sure that's nothing but a manifest. Both cases are nothing but economic anxiety.
Whenever, this is what tickles, when I was, taking black studies this last time, and I was reading about the as I'm reading about how white folks was getting all up in arms about, you know, black folks and getting tired of all the help that the government was giving black folks, which was not, was minuscule as best doing, during this, like you said, that was probably the most progressive America has ever been during Reconstruction. But then, you know, that was too much. And so that economic anxiety set in with the poor, aggrieved white people. Well, you've done enough for the Negroes and just, you know, pull that out. You know, we have the same thing with civil rights. And then you have Nixon coming in saying, well, we've done enough with black people now. And we need to, you know, because you have, what was it? The hippies was doing, you know, that's when you started bringing in marijuana, you know, making marijuana and heroin and all these other things. You know, we have to, you know, the alleged war on drugs was basically just a war on hippies and black people. And scaring white people into thinking that you've given black people too much freedom now. So we, you know, because of those damn civil rights. So now we got to do something about that. Hence the Southern strategy, because, you know, how dare black people, how dare black people have the right to vote in their own country and have
the
rights?
The horror.
By the way, you
got a note in from GK. I said, let's remember, if Pacifica radio stations go away, we will miss them. Fund drives are important for them to stay in existence.
Oh no, I'm a listener supporter. Trust me. When the first week of the pledge drive, I pledge. I just didn't pledge as much as they want me to pledge. But no. I think this is probably usually the pledge drive maybe lasts 2 weeks, but they must be in dire straits because I tuned in, you know, because I always get screwed up when there's a Monday holiday. So I tuned in today and they were still doing the pledge drive today. And I'm like, wow, this is the end of the month and they're still doing it. I don't ever remember a pledge drive going this long because people are tightening their belts because we have an idiot as president. So that's the problem. And I think that's what a lot of people are experiencing. People are afraid to do what they're normally doing because they don't know what's going to happen. Like I said, I'm not one to give in to fear and worry and trepidation and all those. But this man's giving palpitations.
Yep.
He worries me.
He worries a lot of people, not just in this country, but the world over.
But the world over.
And so it's one thing to make sport of him, and we do because God knows.
And we do because he makes it so damn easy.
And I wanted to let people know, if they would like to see the picture of the prime ministers of Norway, Sweden, Finland, Denmark, and Iceland with the soccer ball, go on Twitter. It is at Jussi Karlgren, JussiKarlgren. The caption says, Nordic Prime Minister meeting, the orb of world domination loses power and is somewhat less threatening on these latitudes. Yeah, so a soccer ball. And if only someone would show that.
Well, somebody has to, because obviously, like you said, no one has, because there would have been a tweet about it. He would have said something, you know, and he would have said something thinking he's being funny and witty, you know. And it would have backfired horribly, because you have to have wit, and to be witty. Speaking of wit and to be witty, and I'm going to let you go. Al Franken was being another thing. Like I said, these things I would never hear if I wasn't listening to KPCC. Al Franken was being interviewed, and he's finally written a book, because he said that, you know, his he had to actually work at being serious because he's a witty man. Now he's witty because he's smart. You have to have brains to be witty. And I guess he's finally written a book about, you know, his time as, you know, as
right.
a senator, because he was his own. He was running for office the first time because nobody took him seriously because he's out franking. And, you know, how some of his own comedy was used against him during the campaign, you know, like he was talking about internet safety, and he was made a joke about his son finding, you know, doing a sixth or eighth grade report about bestiality.
Jesus.
Now you and I would get the joke. We would get the joke as to, you know, watch your kids on the internet, you know, and definitely check their homework before they go talking about bestiality in front of their, you know, eighth grade class. So
just remember, bestiality means never having to say you're sorry.
Right. Right. That's bad.
Sorry.
That's bad. But, you know, because he talks about how he hates these, you know, like when he would have to pivot. And he's like, I don't like those kind. It's like he had to learn how to pivot when somebody would ask him a question. And then he would pivot to another question. And he had to learn that because he's like, I'm a straightforward person. He's like, in, I guess in his state, there was a statue in some part of one of the cities or counties called Herman the German, right? And so it was a famous statue everywhere. Well, apparently where he grew up, there was a very much Jewish suburb. And I forget the name of the suburb, but it was like Jewish. They renamed it Jewish Town or whatever and play it the way. And so he's like, well, in this town, they have German, a statue of German, Herman the German. And in our town, we have a statue of Stu the Jew, right? And his people are like, you cannot tell that joke, right? So apparently somebody asked him a question during the he was on campaigning, and it was like, was there ever a joke that you didn't tell while you were campaigning or whatever? And of course he told that joke, and of course his handlers were like, no, you can't, these are the things that you cannot do. We know why you do it, because you are funny, but no, you can't, because we get your humor, but everybody in it's not going to get your humor, and it's going to probably, I mean, I think he's still surprised. I mean, he won when he ran for re-election.
300,
he won by a really good margin.
Right, but his
first
election.
Time.
And that's one of the flaws in when people look back to 2009 and say, wow, yeah, goddamn Obama, you're not real progressive. I mean, he had both houses of Congress. Well, people forget that it took months to get Al Franken seated, and he only won by 312 votes. So no, there was there was no Senate majority, and even once he was there, that Senate majority had Joe Manchin in it. It had Ben Nelson of Nebraska, it had Blanche Walmart Lincoln, and it had Mary. I'll smooch up to any oil company Landrieu. There was never a Democratic majority in the Senate.
Ever.
Not that it could actually get anything done.
Right. So we didn't have a majority.
Oh. I know. Tracy, I got to get out of here, but I sure have enjoyed the conversation. And apparently, Laurel, who is doing all kinds of interesting research on the game show you were on, apparently on one episode of Wipeout, they had a board that was called Trump's Favorite Colors.
Get the fuck out of here.
And you had to pick six. Green, 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 and green.
Was one of them orange? None of them was orange?
No, green. All the right answers were all green.
All green.
Yeah. Tracy, have a lovely evening.
You too, my love. Take care.
I will. Bye now.
Bye.
The one and only Tracy, the lady cab driver, somewhere on the 9 and 15, 16ths in L.A. It is about a quarter before the hour, a little bit of time left in the program if you want to jump in on the conversation. We have, unless something awesome transpires, we will have $230 to raise tomorrow. I don't know if we've, because of the way Skype booted everything back to the 28th with February, which they do, God. But anyway, I don't know if there'll be any, I don't know if there's an overnight crew tonight, is what I'm saying. So $230, thanks very kindly to Darlene in Connecticut for getting helping us take a big bite out of that with her challenge. Thank you to everyone who responded. It's a tremendous help. It really, really is. And of course, if we manage to get to the end of May tomorrow night, we will and raise $230. We will lick the Lithuanian and nudge the Norsky. So cross your fingers. I love this one story. Daryl Issa, Republican of California, who had so much fun chasing after Hillary Clinton, but then showed a decided disinterest in pursuing anything that has to do with Comrade Kumquat. Daryl Issa had a group of angry constituents in front of his San Diego office building. And so his opponent, one of the people running against him, a guy named Mike Levin, tweeted a photograph of Daryl Issa standing on top of his congressional office building. Videoing the crowd of angry constituents across the street and below, too afraid to come speak with assembled constituents. That's weird enough. So he claims that there were several hundred people outside his office. He came out, at which point a reporter for the Sandy, he got a phone call, unsolicited, directly from Daryl Issa. Joshua Stewart said on Twitter, "I just received an unprompted call unsuccessfully to speak with protesters outside his district office. Protesters wouldn't speak with him, so he went up to the roof and took pictures for his opponents." And, quote, "it's as your words." Or with a man who by the barrel, or by the petabyte. That guy. Yeah, it's San Diego. Nobody, they're going to turn him out of office, are they? Could that happen? Could the Democrats get their shit together long enough to do that? Follow up from Steve in China. Boom, boom, go the bomb. Here's a sort of darkly humorous follow-up to my previous note. It is reported by Reuters that a successful intercept of an ICBM missile by the Ground-Based Mid-Course Defense System has just been declared an incredible accomplishment by all the brass hats at the Pentagon. At a cost of over $40 billion, and even though that incredible rate of success works out to something like 50%, over the last 18 or so years, but lucky for us, just in time. Since we all know the crazy fat kid in North Korea isn't going to listen to China anyway, and will launch his missiles at Los Angeles sometime soon, well, sort of. But we gotta protect the homeland! Oh, and this note. 52 people were shot in Greater Chicago over the Memorial Day weekend. Because we don't give a shit about the security and peace of the country and its citizens. And because your kids are supposed to be packing heat anyway, like they do in North Korea. I remember when we called that ground-based missile defense system Star Wars, and it pissed the Republicans off. I remember when we were testing it back in the early aughts, and the only way they could get it to work is if they put a transponder on the missile that the attack missile could home in on. Jeez. Thanks, Steve. Yeah, be very afraid of North Korea. On the other hand, if you happen to give your four-year-old a Cricket 22 single-shot rifle, don't worry about him. He knows how to handle a gun. Well, crap. I'm seeing a bunch of, it'll get to you in a minute. I'm going to knock off. The buffering is going wild on this end. So, thanks, everybody. I mean, who knows what will happen. But thanks, everybody, for all you do to keep this program on the air. Thanks for spending your precious finite time engaging in the conversation, however you do. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thanks to Sparky. Thanks to our news ninjas. Thank you, John Fox. Thank you, Ben Birch. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.